The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Welcome, everybody, to W2M's NXT Review. That's right. We are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Of course, that is the place where you go to find all your great content. Also, don't forget to go check out 411mania.com. Hey, if you want to go find the rest of our content, make sure you go and subscribe it or rate and review as well at Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network. Of course, this NXT we're going to be talking about tonight is, of course, the July 12th, 2017 edition. And we have a lot in store in this episode. Of course, lots of big things, a debut of a wrestler, and a big match in the end here, which we were all expecting to see and kind of excited about. So we'll get into all that. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn. Along with me is your host, Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
Paul, I'm kind of excited about talking about this one. We got some good stuff, man.
Yeah, this is sort of the first of what probably is going to be many big NXTs, and even though NXT has just been almost can't miss these past couple of weeks, all the title matches and everything like that, they come out this week with another title match and a big debut that Gary was talking about. But first, they open the show replaying all the highlights from Ciampa's turn on Gargano back at the last NXT TakeOver special. Gargano comes back tonight, which I was super excited for. And then we also get some fallout of seeing Roderick Strong looking all sad and depressed about losing the championship match last week with his wife and mom backstage and all this other stuff. And then we get to the first of many big happenings on this show is Aleister Black takes on the debuting Bobby Fish. That's right, he's putting on his first match here in NXT. This looks to be official. Of course, we've seen the picture floating around on social media right now of Bobby Fish and Triple H doing the old handshake pose like Bobby's just signed full-time. So they get about 8 minutes. I think Bobby really pushes Aleister, maybe farther than anybody we've seen so far. And I don't know. Cassius Ohno kind of pushed him to his limit too. But either way, Aleister Black wins here once again. Sick black mask puts Bobby Fish down for the count. I dug this. I was expecting more, but for 8 minutes or so, I think this was pretty darn good.
Yeah, and it really gives you a good debut for Bobby Fish, going up against a guy we know wasn't going to lose. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of a surprise to me. I never read the spoilers for NXT. I know a lot of people do. I know, Paul, sometimes you check them out, which, it's fair. I'd have no problem with that. I just personally don't. I kind of like to see things fresh in front of my face when it's aired, and it just helps me to watch it emotionally, I guess I would say. No hate towards anybody who doesn't. But anyway, I think I was kind of thinking, this debut is great. I love Bobby Fish. I've been following him in Ring of Honor for quite a long time. This guy's really awesome. But why are they matching him up against a guy that we know he's not going to lose against? But the match that they gave us was fair. I think Bobby Fish had his day. He got a chance to look really good. There was a lot of involved here, especially with both guys having mixed martial arts backgrounds. They kind of showcase that. They showcase the fact that, you know, Aleister Black's an excellent guy, and he's one of those top-notch guys when it comes to NXT. But Bobby Fish is not far behind, and they gave you that proof here. And, you know, it may have only been 8 minutes, and it may not have been the best. I think it was fair that they did a good job, but not really the best match I think they really could have given us.
Right.
I think that, you know, both guys come out of this looking good, which really does help Bobby Fish being the guy that's debuting, but still Aleister Black never has a hiccup. He still continues his win streak, and that's all positive for me. The one thing I thought was interesting about the whole thing, though, Paul, was watching his entrance and watching Bobby Fish come down. Of course, you know, the one guy that pops the hardest for this is Nigel McGuinness, right? You know, former Ring of Honor announcer. But besides that, the crowd was kind of like, oh, cool, you know, kind of. So I was a little bit more surprised at that. I thought maybe this crowd would get up for a guy that I think, honestly, is a pretty big deal in wrestling. So a little bit surprised that he didn't get that pop from the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys who are more who work Florida more often, not to say that Bobby hasn't, but, you know, working with Ring of Honor for so long, they mostly work the Northeast, and very rarely do they make it down to Florida or, I mean, they just recently started coming to Texas within the last couple of years, so not overly surprised that maybe a lot of people here didn't know, because I think NXT kind of cuts a fine line between casuals and smarks and stuff like that, but... once again, this is fine. I'm really interested in what they're going to do with Bobby here, because he's walking into an NXT that's just overflowing with great talents, and while I think this is a better fit for him overall, he's 36, I think he's probably on the downside of his career. He's been in the ring for 15 years now, and as great as he is, and he brings so much more to the table in a WWE atmosphere than I think Kyle O'Reilly does, one, because he's so charismatic, he works promos very well. He's got all of that down pat, and he's very, very good at characterization. You know, it's just I worry about some of his ring work maybe slacking in comparison to a lot of the other younger talents here in NXT, especially some of the really, really great ones like an Aleister Black or like a Drew McIntyre or, you know, I guess Kenta to a certain or Hideo Tommy. But what do you think they're going to do with Bobby? Like, just guessing out loud, you know?
You know, honestly, my best guess is he's going to come in and really make NXT a product for people to want to watch. I don't know if he's going to get out of NXT. And I think he has aspirations, of course, to do that, to hit the WWE main roster. And I hope he does. But right now, as I sit here, I'm not seeing that. I just don't know, because he's nowhere close to going to be in the main event picture in this NXT world as long as they have it so cluttered up there already. I mean, it is so packed with guys trying to get to the NXT title, trying to main event. I just don't know how he's going to reach that quick. And like you said, age comes into that quite a bit. I mean, this guy is not going to just miraculously get younger. So that's another problem. He's on I don't want to say a timetable, but in a way he almost is. He's got to do something sooner than later, and I don't know if he's going to reach that. I kind of see him as a guy that maybe like an Austin Aries, and sadly Austin Aries kind of said, you know what, I don't have time for this. I want to do other things. It makes me wonder if this is a nice little stop, a nice little time he's going to spend with the NXT kids and really help them, you know, and then move on. I just, like I said, I don't see him moving on to the main roster unless, this is my biggest thing, I see him having a better opportunity if Kyle O'Reilly joins up with him and they reform Red Dragon. I know it won't be that called in WWE or NXT, but reform their tag team and really do something special. Then I could possibly see a big run and maybe even a main roster spot.
So I mean, avoiding spoilers, I absolutely agree with you. If they do bring Kyle O'Reilly in, Red Dragon has a great chance to succeed just because tag team wrestling in WWE is so wide open right now, not only in NXT, but both SmackDown and Raw need more teams. And if Bobby is here singles-wise for however long by himself, then he's definitely, I think, a great hand, like you were talking about, to help younger guys, maybe some of these just directly performance center product people, get their hands and their feet wet in the ring with somebody who's been around and is very well versed in so many different styles of wrestling. So a great signing, whether he's here to be a tag worker or help along the young kids, for sure.
Yeah, and is there really anything wrong with that? Because I know me and you both, I mean, and really, honestly, you, we watch some of these guys, we watch them on all these different promotions that we really, you know, dig. I mean, whether it be Impact Wrestling or GFW now, or be Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, I don't care where it's at. You really get behind these guys, and when you get a chance to see them with NXT, with WWE, you really get behind them, but you have to kind of put your thought process in check and really understand that not everybody is going to be able to be the guy. Not everybody is going to reach the level that they did in other promotions. So if you're a big fan of Bobby Fish, kind of like I am, and I think Paul is too, you want to see him do well, and I'm not going to downgrade him and say he's not going to do well. I'm not sitting here today saying, this is about as high as he's going to go. I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm just being honest, and I'm seeing more as a guy that's here to help the younger talent, and they need that. They really desperately need that. They can't just depend on those guys and you know, the developmental workouts at the center and say, oh, you guys teach them everything. No, sometimes it's about in-ring action that's going to teach those young guys. So that's just my piece.
I completely agree with you on all that. And, I mean, you're right. There's so much you can learn whenever you're not in a match atmosphere and being able to work on the fly, like I'm sure Bobby has had to so many times, and just changing your match as the crowd is reacting to you, which we talk about sometimes in New Japan, and we talk about sometimes in other places too. But some matches and some wrestlers don't always really excel at that. I think Bobby does. I think he's very good at reading crowds. So, after that, we get some clips for Sanity and Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno's tag team match last week. Backstage, Ohno tries to talk with Itami, and Itami blames him for the loss, which, I mean, he's not entirely wrong about. And then Ohno says that, you know, Itami has just sort of been a different person since the TakeOver loss, and that he's finally had enough trying to help him out. He's done with him. So, whatever sort of alliance they had working together is, you know, it's over. So, officially.
Yeah.
And then
I'm not upset at that either. I think that these guys working together, if it was a super tag team, great. But you really never saw that, and I don't think the people in NXT ever really wanted that to happen. So it was fun for the minute that they did that. But I'm glad to see that we're getting Cassius Ohno having a little bit more emotion, right? Instead of just being kind of passive, he kind of gets a little angry here. So I think it can reach another level. Happy with all that.
For sure. And I have to think this is going to go down at TakeOver Brooklyn, their one-on-one match, which should just be outrageously amazing. Like, just, I can't wait. I really can't wait.
same here. Me and you are on the same page.
After that, we get this vignette for the Street Profits, who essentially look like a new version of Crime Time. I don't know how entirely excited I am about this, but the vignette's funny. They need tag teams. Crime Time sort of worked the first time around. I don't know about nowadays with the social climate being the way it is, and this being a portrayal in the same vein, at least from this first shot, as Crime Time, that you're really going to be able to get out of this without maybe taking some flack.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that as well. But I think that these guys have to have some personality. And, you know, Crime Time is controversial as they were. Let's be honest. They weren't out of that, you know, same realm. They kind of got a little criticized here and there for being stereotypical and saying some things about maybe their own culture that really is not true. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, you could say the same here with these guys. But I think it's exciting to see what they're going to bring to the table. And, hey, this is NXT. They can change it if they have to change it. If they need to do something, they can do it, and it really doesn't hurt anything. So I just want to see it in front of my face and actually see what their idea is in matches and, of course, when they actually interact with other wrestlers. Besides that, though, kind of a funny little video here, you know, kind of introducing them and all that. But I don't think it gave me enough to really be upset about or to really know the full scope of what's going to happen with these guys.
Right, that is all I just said was just knee-jerk reaction, so...
And if you do... Not blaming you for that, though.
Yeah. I wanted to put all that out there. This is just knee-jerk reactions, because this is the first time we've seen them. And if you know, I'm sure this is on the YouTube page over on WWE, or if you do have the network, then go watch this, because it is kind of funny, so... Kayla tries to interview Velveteen Dream. He says it's still not the time or the place. Okay. And then we get this Mae Young Classic qualifying match as Vanessa Bourne takes on Jamie Hachi, I believe is how you pronounce it. This is a 2-minute squash essentially for Bourne, who just kind of runs Jamie over. She's a pretty big girl. I think she's another one that has ties to that Samoan family somehow, some way. But yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was good, and you know, we talked a little bit about this, about these matches coming up and the qualifiers, and I said this once before. I think the qualifiers are great because they, on NXT television, get you excited about the Mae Young Classic, but not only that, you understand that this is not just something you just get thrown into. You have to earn it sometimes, and I think this is kind of cool that they show that they're earning their spot in that big Mae Young Classic. So, look, Bourne, I really wonder if, you know, they are going to tie tie those connections in. Also, I sadly thought to myself, related to, Matt Bourne, all that kind of stuff. That popped in my head. I was like, I wonder if that's a relation or there's a play in there. Mm-hmm. But just, I don't know. It's just kind of a funny wrestling thing. But I think match-wise, good stuff. I think, wasn't anything super spectacular, right? But I think they got across what they wanted, right? They wanted her to look good over, I'm already forgetting Jamie's name, but I think in the long run, these are great matches, but they're not really going to be super spectacular. I think we need to kind of hold off on that and understand this is just showcase them, talk about them, get them in front of your face. That way, when you see them in the Mae Young Classic, you know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa Bourne was trained by Rikishi and Gangrel, but she's not in that family, so I might be getting my people mixed up because I did watch the Mae Young Classic announcement where they introduced all the competitors earlier today. So I got a whole bunch of different names so I'll bounce around in my head as we get ready for the part two episode later on tonight. But let's go and move on from there because that's a whole 2 minutes not worth really talking about all that much. We get a fan video from last week where we get to see Sanity attack Drew McIntyre out in the parking lot. It's Killian Dane and I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, Wolf.
Alexander Wolf. They throw McIntyre into a trash can, beat him up some more. It's a shame that Drew don't have no friends, right? Even though half of Evolve is here with him now. So,
Drew beats up of everybody, right? I mean, he could be his buddy, but I mean, he's got a goal in mind, and that's, if it means to wreck you, he's going to wreck you. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I get this. And yeah, he may not have, a bunch of pals around, but I dig the fact that you've got Sanity back on this pack of Wolves mentality, right? I love that. They need to keep that up because they need to stay strong. And I've said it before, they kind of went on a loss streak in a way, so now it's good to see them back and trying to be powerful again. And I think this is great because I think Drew McIntyre is really going to come back at him, and I'm excited about seeing what they do with all that.
Yeah, for sure. This is all a prelude as William Regal meets with Bobby Roode after this and explains. William explains to Bobby that both Killian Dane and Drew McIntyre are undefeated in singles competition. Bobby wants him to make them in a number one contenders match where they have to go one-on-one. Regal sort of questions his motivations, but he says that's eventually what he was going to do anyway, so it's going to be Drew McIntyre and Killian Dane one-on-one with the winner facing Bobby for the NXT Championship at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. I'm really looking forward to that match, like you just said. Should be quite the barn burner.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to want to pick a winner, right? Because I think Drew McIntyre's art of the favorite, and he should be. I mean, this guy has been on fire, and he's looked great coming back into NXT. I really think he's that guy that really goes and does something great against Bobby Roode and Brooklyn. Now, Killian Dane, also amazing. Also a really young, great superstar that I think is going to do some great things in the future. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm ready to say that he's going to be that guy. But you know what? He very well could be. If he was to win, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think him, versus Bobby Roode would be excellent too. I think either matchup is great. That's the super cool thing about this. But I have to say, if you're going to early predictions, I think McIntyre would be the guy.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with all that analysis entirely, just because Drew has very much been on that path, I think, since he got here, and Dane has sort of been just the heavy for Sanity so far. Not to say that he hadn't looked strong in both single and tag action, because they've done a great job of making him look like a monster. It's just, I think it's McIntyre's time,
Yeah, exactly.
And then after all that, we get the Johnny Gargano promo. He comes out to the old DIY music. The crowd is super stoked to see him back. He talks about, saying that he never expected or thought or even comprehended the idea that that Ciampa would ever turn on him. Going so far as to say he never thought the guy he took a bullet for, or would take a bullet for, would be the one to pull the trigger on him. And Man, it's just, it's a really short and to the point promo. Gargano's ready to be back. He needs to be Johnny Wrestling like he was back before he got here. So he's got single stardom in mind, and then he's got some new music that hits afterwards. And yeah, whoever they decide to throw him up against has one heck of a challenger on their hands.
Yeah, you're right, and it's going to be really interesting. I'm really kind of excited about whoever they're going to match him up against, though. I mean, I think that they're going to probably find somebody that's going to be, you know, kind of like in his same type of realm of, you know, young, small, high flyer, a guy that can, you know, definitely hang with him. I think anybody, though, pretty much would do great, because Johnny Wrestling is a fan favorite for a reason. People just love to see him, and just the pure talent that this guy has, he can match up almost, I'd say, about against anybody, really. His little thing here and the speech was fine, right? Mm-hmm. And I appreciated it. But this is where you struggle a little bit when you don't have the ability to have these guys kind of get in the ring together. Because, I mean, it's great. This is history, though. This is kind of – I don't even know when that match was now. It's been so long ago that we actually talked about that, right? About, you know, the whole breakup and him getting beat up and all that stuff. So it kind of lost a little bit of the oomph, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the energy has been sucked out of that whole feud. So sure, he has something to say about it. He gets it said, but there's just not a lot there. So I think that was fine. I think it kind of left us kind of like, okay, whatever. But now he is talking about the future. Now he's talking about Brooklyn. And I love the fact that he puts that over and says, look, I plan on being there. That's important. That's a special place to be. So that makes me happy. And I really want to see who they're going to put him up against, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. One guy I would love to see him face, and I know he's in the UK stuff, but Mark Andrews is a guy that I'd love to see Johnny Wrestling take on. That'd be so much fun.
That would be a really great match, and there, like we talk about it, there's tons of amazing talents for him to face currently in NXT. Whether they decide to dive into that UK barrel again or not, we'll have to wait to be seen, but I'm excited to see what Johnny's going to do. I don't know if I necessarily agree that all the fire is gone from the turn, just because they had Johnny disappear for so long to sell the injuries and the mental anguish and all that, which I think is still sort of there in the promo, and the crowd is certainly happy to see him back. I think a lot of the fire might be gone that you're missing, Gary, is because Ciampa's hurt, and that feud is way, way down the line now, if Gargano's even still around in NXT by the time Ciampa's ready to return sometime next year.
Yeah, and probably why. But, you know, like I said, there's been so much time in between. For me personally, I just kind of, at times, honestly, forgot about it. You know, both guys out of sight, out of mind. And I think that's kind of why I've lost it. But, you know, they'll find their way back to it if they ever choose to. And if they don't, honestly, it's not a big deal, right? I mean, both of them can go on with the rest of their careers and do their own things. And if they revisit it, they do, you know, so.
Yeah, this TakeOver Chicago is May 20th, so that's almost 2 months ago now.
Yeah,
it was a long time. Anyways, moving on from all that, the NXT Tag Team Championship main events, the Authors of Pain defend against Heavy Machinery in a short little 8-minute match or so. This is big guys doing big guy things, and still some rather green teams here. Heavy Machinery more so than the Authors of Pain, but I still think this is pretty entertaining the whole way around. The Heavy Machinery, of course, falls short here because there's just no way the Authors of Pain are losing the belts right now. They take out Otis with this Russian leg sweep lariat combo that they used during the Dusty Rhodes Classic last year before they started getting into the Shatter Machine, the Super Collider and all that other stuff. And they retain, and then after that, Killian Dane, Alexander Wolfe, and Nikki Cross come down and have a nice little stare down, and a bunch of paper starts falling from the ceiling, and the commentary seems to think it's either representative or actually is Ellering's Book of Pain or Book of Dominance or whatever that big book that he totes around with him is in those promos. So interesting stuff here that Sanity and AOP might be your tag team title match going into Brooklyn.
Yeah, and that could be really fun. I think so, because, I mean, Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane are nothing to be messed with. I think, you know, they're another big guy group that, I mean, could be just an excellent, you know, foe for what's going on over there with AOP. I mean, because trust me, they're so dominant. You just never know, you know, who could be that roadblock. And I don't know that we found it yet. But, you know, that I really feel like Wolf and Dane could possibly be that roadblock for the Authors of Pain. So who knows? I love the fact that this match kind of showcased two big guy teams. You felt like the earth shook sometimes when they went at it. And that was so great. I love Heavy Machinery. I'm a big fan of theirs because of the fact that it kind of takes me back to the 80s a little bit. It also kind of makes me happy to see that these guys are just so much fun. And they're big guys, but they're still fun. They have personality. They're not just big guys and boring and no one cares. They bring something to the table, I think, makes you care about what they're doing. I didn't know how this was going to work out. I knew that the Authors of Pain were going to win. That's not the question. But the question was, is how is this actually going to go down? And how badly would Heavy Machinery look? And they didn't actually look bad. In fact, they got a little run there, and they actually showed that they could hang with the Authors of Pain. It's just that, you know, they couldn't finish the job. And that's fine. I think that really, honestly, they didn't lose here. I think the Authors of Pain, you know, may have been the actual winners. But Heavy Machinery walks out of this saying, we stood up toe-to-toe with one of the most dominant tag teams in wrestling right now. So that's good to me, and that's enough, right? Until they get their next opportunity, that's good enough.
Yeah, or, you know, some more time in, under their belts. I mean, as much as we bag on the main roster's tag team woes, NXT is bereft of teams right now. Because, I mean, really, outside of Sanity and these two, that's all you got. Until you have Street Profits come in and TM61 comes back from injury and, boy, whatever else you can try to make up in the meantime. Finding some teams for that Dusty Rhodes Classic could be a little difficult come later this year, but that's NXT for this week. Next week you have the number one contendership match, and you also have Ember Moon and Ruby Riott going one-on-one, so two great matches right there.
Yeah, and it's something to look forward to. I think both those matches alone give you a reason to tune in. I think they did a pretty good job this week of making you want to tune in, you know, with the Gargano stuff and, of course, the main event. So they are really on, and they're really clicking, if you ask me personally, with NXT. So very happy with so far with what they've got going for us. We will talk next week about all the other great content. If you, of course, want to find all our great content, don't forget W2Mnet.com. Also, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review over there at wherever you find podcasts, basically. But go ahead and search out Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network if you want all the great podcasts in our network. And also want to throw a shout out to 411mania.com for hosting a lot of our other content. So it's really really cool to see you guys, you know, interact with us and let us know what you think. Also, don't forget YouTube. We have a channel there. Make sure you go ahead and subscribe over there. Of course, you know, we send an email out. The YouTube actually does it. They'll send an email out every time we have a new episode pop up. So there you go. We don't even have to do anything. You just look on your phone. Oh, there you got another one. Click. There you go. You get to listen. But anyway, we are done for tonight. Make sure you come check us out when we do our normal Wrestling to the Max episodes this week. Of course, Thursday night, or of course, Friday on the download, you will get another great episode, lots of cool content, talking Lucha Underground, talking Impact Wrestling, and all the big news coming out of the world of wrestling. Until then, guys, we will see you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.